Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we are again at IHOP. After a pretty good breakfast, we're going to be talking about the Bible today.
What? That's crazy.
IHOP makes me want to take a nap every time.
So it's more like I sleep?
Yeah, it's more like I sleep. Chuck just threw a wad of paper at me.
How rude.
Are you offended?
No, I am unoffendable. According to Brant Hansen. That's a book we just were reading as a home group. It's called Unoffendable. So now it's like a thing for everybody at church when they say something mean to be like, are you offended? Not mean, but funny. You know, like joking. It's a joke.
Yeah,
just to clarify.
You and Madison ought to read through it.
Yeah, it'd be a good book. I'll lend it to you. Well, the last couple chapters have a few bottom pages of the corners missing.
Okay.
One of our dogs teething. Really needed something to chew on, apparently.
Okay.
Today I had something completely new on the menu. It was a breakfast crepe. It had like a white cheese sauce, bacon, shredded cheese, and it was a crepe with some hash browns in it. It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
It did look really good. I also had something new. You can tell there's a new special menu item that dealt with crepes, because just I got that, and I got this crepe combo. It had normal combo things like sausage and hash browns and stuff, but it came with your choice of one of three crepes, and I chose like the cinnamon bun one. So,
was it good?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very good.
I could smell the sugar on your plate from where I was at.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I have a lot of sugar in my system right now.
So, are you excited?
I am excited. And later on, I will be sleepy.
Good thing you weren't driving.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I had the old standard spicy poblano omelet.
Classic.
With fruit.
Classic.
Yeah, it was good.
As a reminder, as we're getting started today, we are in the last three episodes of Breakfast Theology. We are officially ending it at episode 100. Just to set our sights on different things, and we've been doing it for a long time, and we think it's been a great thing. But we just want to remind you guys, episode 100 is going to be our last episode. And thank you guys for being faithful listeners. It's been a really good time. So all the episodes we've recorded are going to stay. Like, you can go back and listen to them. It's not like we're deleting things. It will be there for perpetuity. As long as...
For who?
For everybody in the future. Perpetuity. Isn't that the right word?
I've never heard that word in my life.
Yes.
No, cross.
That's it.
Perpetuity and perpetuity. But it's for... my brain's not working. Posterity. That's it. For posterity. A future generation of people. That's the word. In perpetuity for posterity. As long as Anchor doesn't go under on Spotify. Delete their servers or something.
Sure.
But it should be here to stay. And if you want to continue to reach out to us, thebreakfasttheology@gmail.com will keep working as long as Google doesn't crash. As long as Alphabet doesn't crash. There is a company that owns Google, and think about that. That kind of scares me a little bit. There's a bigger company. What is Alphabet doing? They have their fingers in everything.
Wow.
You think Google has their fingers in everything? There's a company that owns Google. Anyway, we're starting a new little mini-series here at the end, the last three episodes, where each one of us are going to be picking a topic that really means a lot to us personally. And as a group, we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Today is Chuck. What do you got for us, Chuck?
Might be a short one. Leading a discussion, I'm kind of out of practice. but we'll see what happens. I wanted to talk about grace. What is grace?
Charis.
Charis.
It's the Greek word. Mm-hmm. Where we get charity. Yeah, same word from charity. Oh.
Charismatic.
Or charismatic, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charisma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A very significant and important topic of our stance as a Christian, our stance as having Jesus as Lord and Savior. That does kind of bring up an interesting point, is it's really more of a Christian word than a colloquial, like, normal word you use in real life.
Well, I've been in groups of unbelievers sitting down to eat, and they would say, would you say grace? Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true.
Where did that come from?
What grace means.
What? Enlighten me.
Oh, thank you. Well, grace is a hard topic to pin down to one thing.
Right.
Because it covers a whole lot of different topics. Mm-hmm. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10, as each of you have received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So Peter wasn't even going to try to define grace. It's manifold, multifaceted.
Is that so? As each one has received a special gift, employ in serving one another as good stewards of a manifold grace of God.
Mine says God's varied grace.
Yeah, a manifold is a... You think of like an exhaust manifold, like in a, yeah, an automobile. Mm-hmm. It covers everything, and it directs it. So it multiple entry points to one exit point, or it's just like... It covers... vastness.
Yeah,
I would doubt whether Peter was thinking of a V8 engine.
Yeah.
Agreed.
He's probably thinking of the V12 from the Bugatti Veyron.
Probably exactly.
Peter, if Peter was alive today, I think he would be a car guy. He seems like...
Oh, yeah.
He might be into...
Motorcycles.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For all our motorcycle riding friends out there. So grace, in my own effort to come up with a understandable term for grace, and it may have been mistaken on my part, but I used the word help. Because grace is most necessary, I think, in difficult times. And through my study, I found out that we can grace God. So the word charis is also translated favor.
Right. Sometimes even kindness. But I think favor is probably a better word.
Yeah.
Makes more sense.
Thankfulness. Or credit in the King James. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a minute, but you want credit? Seems that people are more worried today about their credit and their credit score than I ever was. I'm still not. If I ain't got it, I ain't gonna get nothing. But that just comes with age, knowing that it's all vanity.
Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, all says vanity. The preacher.
Yeah. You know, it makes sense that, you know, its words kind of defined as favorable, because for someone to be charismatic, they are a favorable person. They are someone that can get the favor of people and have goodwill with them. you know, so you can see how that idea of charity or charisma is branching off of this word here that uses grace or favor. Makes sense. Very cool.
It's also translated, going back to the charity thing, liberality. Paul used that word talking to the liberality.
Liberality.
Is that a new word?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Like that's liberty, what, like liberation.
Paul used it in reference to the gift he was bringing to Jerusalem from Macedonia.
Uh-huh.
Their liberality.
Gotcha.
Their grace.
Their favor. Their kindness. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is grace something that is given?
Oh, yeah.
Because it sounds like we're almost talking about it like it has a substance to it. You know, it's like something that can be...
You can receive
give it away.
It.
Receive it, give it away.
Give it away.
Yeah.
You can deny it. Can you deny grace?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so.
That's what Paul said. Mm-hmm. If you're going to believe him.
So is grace a noun? Is it a thing? Grace is a thing, right?
Is love a noun?
Interesting.
But I think grace can be a noun. For, you know, something like you've been given grace to have or do X, Y, or Z. You know, you can use it as a noun in a sentence. Mm-hmm.
You guys probably didn't know Grace Wiggins.
No.
Not familiar.
I know Grace Wiley. I went to high school with her, but you probably don't know her.
Okay. Is that a noun?
She is a noun, yeah.
Yes.
She is
a person.
Yeah.
So, going back to, let's go to 1 Peter 2, 19 and 20. Powerful verses, I think.
Okay.
This is commendable. To get a commendation. Is that right?
Yeah, something that is, you get credit for doing. Yeah.
Credit, is that right?
Your credit.
Yep. Yep. This is commendable. If, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief and suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Thankworthy.
That word commendable is charis.
Yeah.
That's the same word as grace, just so everybody's clear.
Very cool.
You do good, what's right, what you're told to do, and you suffer for it, and you take it patiently, that brings credit.
Right. So it could be read, for this is what finds you grace. It's because of conscience towards God, someone endures pain while suffering unjustly.
Yeah.
But what praise is there if you do wrong and then are beaten for it, endure it. But if you do good and suffer for it, endure it, God gives you grace for that.
Yep. Help.
Yeah.
When you need it. That's why I chose that word.
Yeah. Get God's help. Yeah, I like how he's making the point here of there's no favor, there's no credit being given to you if you are experiencing the negative consequences of your negative actions.
Right, patiently.
Right. Yeah, well, if you do the wrong thing and then bad things come to you about it, that's not necessarily commendable. That's you just experiencing the consequence of your wrong actions.
Yep.
But if you are doing the right thing and you suffer for it, then that can be something that brings about God's help and God's grace. You can have, we just went through the Beatitudes, right? You know, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. It's in that same vein here.
Yes, you know, indeed.
Same vein.
Put yourself in the same boat as the prophets.
Yeah.
If you're persecuted for what is right and what is godly.
Yeah.
Same boat as Jonah.
Not quite the same boat. He had a fish on his boat. Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of the development of why they're blessed, is what Peter's saying here, because you receive the favor, the credit, the grace of God.
Well, I like to connect that to your treasure in heaven. Mm. You're getting credit for that suffering when you're doing good. Mm-hmm. That goes to your account.
Putting up your retirement fund.
Exactly.
It does make sense also then that, well, I guess that's an interesting take then, if we're saved by grace. Mm. We are saved only by the help of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm. It's the goodness of God that brings you to repentance.
Yeah, it's His favor. It's His grace that brings you to salvation and repentance, yeah.
I think it's a personal loving thing to pray for people that God would show them favor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Aaronic prayer. Aaron's prayer says, may God's face shine on you, may His favor be towards you. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea, is that you do pray for God to show kindness to certain people.
I heard it well stated once before, maybe like this, that mercy / forgiveness is not getting what you deserve, whereas grace is getting what you don't deserve.
Yeah.
And I really like that before. You know, we're saved by grace is what Josiah was just saying. We don't deserve
what
we're given.
I guess, yeah, that whole Aaron's, like, think about this. May Yahweh's face shine upon you. Like, God is turning Himself towards you. He sees you.
Mm.
His presence is in your direction.
Right.
It's just pretty powerful, like, a visual that God has turned to look at you.
Right.
You know?
Well, I'm even thinking back in that, well, I guess it would be after that context. But, like, you know, imagine you have a plea before the king of some kind of matter or injustice done to you, and the king notices you and says, ooh, I want to do something to help you. That's really comforting to know that the king is noticing you and your problem and know that they have some power and authority to help you, let alone the God of the universe. You know, mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That is facial and fire.
Yeah. You know, if he sees you and he smiles because mm-hmm. he sees you, mm-hmm. that I think is his face shining upon mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you show up in front of the king and he doesn't want anything to do with you.
Mm. That could be bad news.
Bad news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine, without the context of what grace really means, reading that would be difficult to understand initially. I think it's just like, what does it mean that this is a gracious thing outside of God? What does that mean? You know, like, I can understand how we may miss the importance of that.
Yeah. And sometimes I think we take things too personally. It isn't all about me, or it isn't all about my suffering, but it does reflect on God how I take it.
Right.
Right. It's your response that matters.
Yeah. So let's look at Luke. You get bulletins?
Our church does not have bulletins at the moment, no.
They just are bookmarks for
for Chuck, apparently.
What's a bulletin for?
The bookmark for that sermon.
Well, it was doing the parable of the sower in three Gospels. I got to mark each one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you mark one in Mark?
Huh. It's already marked for you. It's pre-marked.
It's the most marked.
Okay, but we're going to go to Luke chapter 6.
Good call, yes.
Verses 32, starting with verse 32. Is this to your credit? Jesus said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is it?
Mm. What grace is there for that?
Yeah. Your grace isn't showing.
Right.
For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Heavenly Father is merciful.
We can see there's a deep connection between mercy and grace. A lot of overlap.
Do they deserve it? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. But how much grace have you received?
Pretty infinite amount at this point.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about mercy. Is that there is a correct judgment that is foregone.
Yeah.
In favor of grace.
In grace of grace?
In grace of grace, yeah. So, like, you rightfully deserve something. Mercy is shown by grace being given to that person.
Or maybe another way to say, you can't give someone grace without first giving them mercy. So then there's room to be given something else.
Of course, there is, I think, grace detached from mercy, too. As in, someone who just needs help, maybe there wasn't a wrongdoing towards you, but you can just still lend your grace to your help to them, too.
For
I guess mercy isn't always a prerequisite,
right?
But grace always follows mercy.
Right. Because you can say that giving of the mercy is a gift in itself to someone.
Yeah. Or mercy, the desire for mercy is what inspires, or the desire for grace, excuse me, is what inspires mercy to take place.
Right. Yeah, you could say that, but if you're doing something, lending things, hopefully to get it back, maybe with interest, what credit is that to you?
Yeah.
How far down that second mile did you go?
Like, no one looks at someone's retirement account and be like, oh, yeah, you're really being graceful. You know, like, no, you're doing it for your own personal gain. You know, you're not.
Right.
No one looks at a bank who gives loans out with a 3% interest rate on a house and be like, oh, yeah, you guys are being really merciful and graceful.
You guys are being really gracious to the people around you. Yeah, for sure.
We really appreciate your business mentality.
The divine influence on your heart, grace, How close are you to God? How, what credit is it to you? You're a nice guy and everybody likes you and things are going well. And grace is really something I see necessary when there's trouble or suffering. Without grace, in those times, we'd crumble, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Well, that's, I think, even adding on to that, I think Scripture makes it clear, like, you know, you're saying grace is really a good and necessary and very wanted thing when we're in trouble. I think the gospel's trying to tell us, and we're all in trouble. You know?
Yeah.
We're all in trouble.
Don't think you got it made.
Yep, you are always in need of grace.
You're exiled from the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
You ain't there.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that came from the book, Unoffendable, was you're driving down the road, somebody does something idiotic, which affects you.
Right.
So you holler out in the cab of your own car, "You idiot."
Yeah.
We're all idiots.
Right.
You hear the echo bounce off the wall, come back to your ears. Oh. Okay.
Right.
It's like that scene in the Grinch movie, the live action with Jim Carrey.
I'm an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yeah. He tries to get... So he's like in this cave and it's echoing, but everything comes back redirected to him. And so eventually he's trying aggravation at the end, he goes, "I'm an idiot."
Because he's trying to make the echo, quote unquote, tell itself that it's an idiot.
And then it goes, "You're an idiot." And then it echoes back, "You're an idiot," instead of saying, "I'm an idiot."
Yeah.
Well, there's gems to be found everywhere, right?
I suppose, even in the Grinch.
Yeah, there you go. I like Jesus' connect here is, hey, love your enemy. Love those who you won't get any on paper, quote unquote, benefit from for giving grace towards. Because your God did it first. Like, he's, you know, he's giving mercy and grace to the ungrateful and the evil. So be merciful as your Father is merciful.
Well, this very act of doing what Jesus is saying here is what makes you the sons of the Most High.
Right.
Like, if you want to be a child of God, you act like God.
Yeah. And what does God do?
You operate in God's ways of operating.
Yeah. And, like, one of the core fundamental parts of how God is operating towards humanity is grace, because we're still alive. And he's given a way of salvation despite everything.
We are sinners. The wages of sin is death. We are alive. Therefore, there has been some grace shown somewhere along that line.
Right.
That's it. Gift.
Mm-hmm.
The gift of God is eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul uses grace a lot.
Yeah, he does.
And maybe because of his own experience. It was highlighted towards him.
Right.
Well, he realized his own brokenness to a deep extent, obviously. And I think that's the whole point of Jesus' analogy, where he says, who has received more grace, or like, who has been forgiven more?
Mm.
Is it, you know, this good person, or is it... Or is it this, like, really wicked person?
The woman that was washing his feet.
Mm. Those who have been forgiven much.
Love much.
Love much.
And that, I think, is a personal judgment. Well, I didn't have that much for God to forgive. Yeah, right.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's why I think when you look at... just people in the world who have come to Christ, and you're like, wow, that person is like super gracious, like super forgiving, super understandable. It's usually the people who have done the worst crap, you know?
Right.
And they realize the depths of their sin. And so they're much more gracious. and we all should be, it just is a realization of our sin. And some of us don't see that.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
The more painfully aware you are of your own sin and brokenness, the sweeter the gospel becomes to you.
Yeah. I've said it a lot, too, that God didn't save you because you were a good deal.
Doctors don't come to heal the healthy.
You can't be saved unless you need saving.
Yeah, it seems intuitive, but it kind of is a big deal, a point to make in this conversation. Yep.
There are some people I look at and they're like, oh, God saved me. I'm like, saved you from what? Your really cushy job in the affluent country in your gated community with your nice family. Because that's really sometimes all that Christianity is to people. It's just like a cultural thing, and you know the words and you say, yeah, God saved me. But like, do you really see your brokenness?
That's like the seed that fell among the thorns.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking that that seed sprung up, looked good, it looked good, had all the right words and chance.
It got choked out.
Yep. It wasn't fruitful.
Got suffocated.
Got suffocated by both the worry of this world's needs and the desire of obtaining more of those needs. You were talking about Paul talking about grace earlier, and Romans 6:23 makes me think of, you know, at the end of everything you're saying in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, aka the thing that you can earn, that you can actually work towards and get in return for what you have done.
That's a fair wage
is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The ultimate, like, pinnacle of this idea of grace is God's gift of salvation through His Son. And it's a free gift.
Yep.
It's incredible. It's the same parable of the guy in the... One guy shows up early to work in the field, and he gets the same as the guy who shows up at the very end, and the guy's upset.
Right.
The person at the end is very thankful. The realization we need to have is that none of us deserve any of that wage.
Right. But honestly, that gives a whole element to it.
Yeah.
I think that's part of, you know, one of the most confusing and difficult, I think, parables that people try to study or think about is the parable of the shrewd manager that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 16. And
yeah,
I think one of the big deals he's trying to make with that point is technically none of us own anything. We're all just borrowing God's stuff, so when we use it outside of His will, we are stealing of God.
Well, that's
he's
true.
To make that stark. And so, you know, you have to recognize that literally everything is founded in grace. You know, of God's grace of giving you your entire life, your entire being, your entire breath that you take, the job you have, the people around you, your context, it's all given by God.
So then is generosity a realization of grace?
I think so.
Sometimes that overwhelms me. You know? I say thank you to the point where I think I'm saying it too much. But can you ever say it too much?
Can you say I love you too much, you know? Or I'm sorry, or, you know. Yeah, thankfulness. The generosity which you pour out your thankfulness too is a realization of your grace that's been given to you.
It's when the grace of God in you has become complete. When you fully realize it for what it is, and so you're thankful. And the overflow of that is generosity, because you're wanting to reflect what your God has done, which is be generous to you.
If God has given us these things, is it not within our proper stewardship to trust Him with it back in return?
Mm. Well, you know, that's a very good point, well worth considering.
God gave the world to Adam and Eve, and what did He do? He asked for them to care for it.
To work and to keep it.
Yeah, to work and to keep it, to maintain it. To give it the care that God intended for it.
Right. And I can't pinpoint any particular one at the moment, but I think of scriptures that talk about how, you know, we can bless God.
Yeah.
We can give a little bit back to Him. Even though it's not like truly, in a sense, giving to God. Like, you can't, what do you give to someone who literally has everything? That's literally God. But, to a sense, you can. I guess I imagine, like, I don't know, if a dad gets, like, a cute little card from his kid that's, like, a, you know, poorly drawn little caricature on a piece of paper. It wasn't truly, like, the dad's like, oh my goodness, this is what I've actually was, like, looking forward to get. This is awesome. But he still really finds it as an awesome gift that he loves and cherishes because it was from his kid. You know, I think that that might be more the element when we bless God. But we can give. We can give to a degree to God and give back to Him. We can have that grace.
Paul in Ephesians said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the God and Father. Blessed there is eulogy.
A good word.
Mm. Speak well of Him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because He's already blessed you.
Right.
I guess that would be on the order of praise.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And what is praise except giving her the word?
Yeah. I also think of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, you know, 12:7-9, when he's talking about how there was a thorn in his flesh. And he prayed 3 times, and God basically said no, and part of his answer was, my grace is sufficient for you.
There you go.
Makes me think of the side of the parable of the person that got the same daily wage at the end, just at the beginning. Part of what he's trying to realize is, regardless of your context before you received that quote-unquote wage, that gift is enough, period. Like, regardless of what happens in this life, regardless if you have thorns in the flesh, regardless if you have pain and suffering, in the end, God's grace truly is sufficient.
Yeah, what He has overcomes anything in the world, what He's given you.
Right.
His grace, in that time of suffering, God's grace will make it better than if the problem had been removed.
It is the very similar to the purifying fire analogy that we get.
Absolutely.
In scripture, is well refined gold. You know, is the is the gold that's been heated to the point where it burns off all the impurities.
Yeah.
You know, that's hot.
It's hot.
That's hot.
So God heats us up.
Forging is an intense process.
Yeah. Takes the slag off, and then
pounding and hammering it.
When we come out, we're, yeah, a shaped vessel that He uses for His glory.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Chuck, this is your episode.
Thank you.
Are there any other things you wanted to bring up?
No. God's sufficient grace was the last thing.
Oh, I didn't mean to steal it from you.
No,
sorry.
You didn't steal it, you sealed it.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go.
I like that. Well, you want to close this out?
Yes, I think the more you study about grace and come to an understanding, a working understanding of what that is in your life, I think the more you will appreciate in the closing lines of many of the books in the New Testament, it says, and the grace of Jesus be with you. Mm. How powerful that is. The end.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
Until then.
Bye.
May the grace of Jesus be with you.